That's the first time in quite a while since I've had any MC tell me that I had plenty of time. Thank you. I guess you've heard the story. Some of them are so worn. You know, the preacher who went on when he was told he only had so much time to preach. And finally the MC couldn't take it any longer and he threw an object at him, but it missed him, hit the lady in the front row, hit her in the head. And she said, "Hit me again, I can still hear him." I hope that won't be the case this morning. My, it's good to see such a lovely group out. Appreciate your help and obliging us by most of you sitting in the center. Nothing wrong where you are on the right or the left. But it sort of produces, makes a nice balance for the preacher. And we really appreciate that. In fact, of all the churches that I have asked to oblige me that way, I would say that you rank number 9 out of 10. Now, that's pretty high. That's pretty high. If I said 10, that would be perfect, and I might be up. I want to turn to Ecclesiastes 3 because that's what we're going to be preaching on, is time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, if you will, the wise preacher. And this book, Ecclesiastes 3, and I want you to keep your finger on the book. We'll be reading a few verses from another chapter later on. To everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit has he that worketh, and that wherein he laboreth? We could really say a lot about the last verse that I read, but that's not the subject. But however, one of the saddest things in life to me is to see a man who works so hard all of his life, whether Christian or non-Christian, but if they abuse time and never gave God any time of their life, and even if they become a millionaire over and over again, and just to die or have so little time in this world to be able to enjoy the fruit of their labor. You may look upon a man like that as being a foolish person. That's all they live for. Time is very precious, and when you stop to think of it, we get approximately 8 hours sleep a night, and then we have 8 hours to work in the day if you're a working person. And then you take your time out for your meals and attention to the body. And really, there isn't a great deal of time that you could use for what we would term the most vital things in life. As a Christian, time to serve God. As a non-Christian, it's certainly time to give serious thought to your destiny, as to your position, whether you're in Christ or out of Christ. It is a serious matter. You really do not have much time when you think of it. And so it is important that we recognize the quality of time as well as the quantity. It's not very much left. Brother Eddie Swartz, that you know very well, passed something on to me when we were on a cruise to South America. Speaking of life, he said the bawling beginners, or the beginnings of the little tot, the active adolescents, the tireless teens, the trying 20s, the tiring 30s, the flabby 40s, I don't know why he put that in, the failing 50s, the sighing 60s, the sickly 70s, and the ending 80s. Then the sod, and then God. And you know, that really sums up life, doesn't it? In a sense. Then he gave me another one, which I thought was very good. First phase in life, you believe in Santa Claus. The second phase, you don't believe in Santa Claus. The third phase, you become Santa Claus. And the last phase, you can't even remember whether there is such a thing as Santa Claus. My wife thinks I'm borderlining on the fourth. But really, I had 13 grandchildren, 12 grandchildren, and 7 great, I think. I am Santa Claus. I know I'm in that bracket. I'm sure of that. But it sounds just like Eddie Schwartz, doesn't it? But you know, let's face it. The priority should be on time, to a great extent. I'm thinking now of Martha. Her heart was broken. Mary and Lazarus had died, and when the Lord came to them, well, in verse 6 of that chapter, it says that he abode yet 2 more days. You know, 2 days is a long time for a dying person. Martha and Mary, apprehensive, filled with anxiety. Oh, if he was only here. If he was only here. And then finally, the Lord Jesus arrived. And you remember the words of Martha, "Master, if thou hadst been here, our brother would not have died." Remember that? You're talking about the timing of the Lord. His delays are never denials. You've heard that many times, I'm sure. But the Lord had a divine and sovereign purpose than this particular delay. He is going to raise a man from the dead. The miracle of preventing death to him was no greater a miracle than raising man from the dead. Martha believed in the resurrection. She said, "Oh yes, I know that in the resurrection he will rise again." But the Lord Jesus comforted her heart. And maybe I'm paraphrasing a bit. "Oh, no, no, Martha. I mean now." And when he went there, that glorious shout was given. And as he called Lazarus' name, and he came forth, as you know, bound. But the timing of the Lord Jesus, in fact, the timing of God, in your prayer life in particular, you've prayed a long time, and things just doesn't seem to come to fruition. You've asked the Lord, and again and again and again, you get this courage. Listen, the timing of God is perfect. He will answer. He will grant it. Don't give up, because he knows the best time to answer your prayer. And that's just, by the way, why we refer to that. But I want to mention that the miracle or the marvel of his timing in connection with the reference to Martha and Mary, he lingered. He stayed off a while. Never in a hurry, but he was never late. His matchless wisdom, his unfailing love, you can't always sort of put it in a capsule, but it is true. He knows best. Because of his love, its timing is always the best. Here's a man way back in the Old Testament. He falls in love with a beautiful lady. But his father-in-law-to-be said, I don't know how you do it back where you come from, but here you've got to work 7 years for her. And so Jacob says, it's worth it. And 7 years he worked for his beloved Rachel. Ah, comes the morning when this bride is to be presented to him, and you know the story well, and goes to bed with his dear bride that night, and in the morning the real veil has been lifted, and he discovers that, without being sarcastic, but his father-in-law pawned off on him what some believe to be a cross-eyed girl. Not Rachel. Now that's traumatic. I cannot imagine how Jacob felt. But when he approached his father-in-law about it, he said, you've deceived me. And he said, well, listen, you can have Rachel. The scheming father-in-law was just as schemy as Jacob. He said, you have to work 7 more years. And Jacob says, that I will do. Of course, he got his wife then, but I like this. And after the 14 years, it says, all of that seemed as nothing those years because of his what? Of his love for Rachel. And I want to suggest that no matter how long you serve God, no matter how many years you apply yourself to the work of the Lord, in whatever category he places us in, let us do it heartily as unto the Lord, and you'll discover that time does not become a burden. His work is not a burden. And you'll discover that it's rewarding, and in the end of your life, you look back. Because some of us, as I look back, and there are a lot of things I would try to change, and there are many things that I failed in, and many things that I would change in that area as well. But I want to tell you, it's rewarding to serve the Lord. How much of what has been accomplished by this particular servant of God was in the right motive or not, I will not know until I get at the judgment seat of Christ. But time, has always been a precious, I use the word commodity, but you know what I mean, don't you? Time is vital. It will go by whether you want it or not. You cannot stop the hands of the clock. The aging process goes on. Time to plant, time to pluck up, time to build, time to pull down, time to rend, and a time to sow. It's time, but it's always time. This is not seasonal. In season and out of season, we are to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not seasonal, in the sense that when I get around to it, I will do it. No. Look for opportunities to serve Him in that area of our life, to be witnesses for Him. Look for opportunities in the assembly, how I could serve Him or best serve Him. And whatever I am asked to do, do it heartily as unto the Lord because of your love that we have for Him. Serve Him with whatever He places in our hands or in our hearts. This poor woman was frustrated, believe me. It was something, but the joy came when the miracle of resurrection was performed. And you remember what she said, but he smelleth by now, 4 days dead. It doesn't matter. He raises him from the grave. But there's another time factor in the Bible. And Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, that in the fullness of time had come. Christ who was born, let me quote it right, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the curse of the law, under the law. Oh, my friend, there was a fullness of time when God sent forth His Son. I'm so glad. And it happened 2,000 years ago. And in John 17, He's praying not only for those who are with Him, who have seen Him, but He's praying for those who have not seen Him, but yet that they will believe. Just think of that. And 2,000 years later, here we are this morning. And I trust that every person here is a born-again believer. If not, it is our prayer that you will be. But isn't it grand that we're members of the family of God? We're in that precious, precious body of His. And He is the head, because God in His wisdom, in the fullness of time had come, is that babe born in Bethlehem at that particular time. Some folk may think it was an odd time for Him to be born, but not so. Not so. But I am glad that in the wisdom of God, He sent forth His Son. At that particular time, and even though 2,000 years later, this poor wretched sinner, deserving of hell and all of its consequences, as a teenager, bowed the knee to the Christ of God. Oh, I thank God for it, and I believe you feel the same as I do this morning. Yes, that wonderful miracle of His timing. Manifestation of His love in His perfect timing. It says Jesus wept. Oh, I know that some say that He wept because of their unbelief. But I believe that He is, as the Scripture says, we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. I believe that, and I know you do as well. And so, as our high priest, as our priest, He is touched with the feelings of your problems today, with what you're going through. And He knows what you are going through. And we see this marvelous love of His. It says Jesus wept. He wept. Is it because He saw the sorrowing heart? I like to believe that that's the truth conveyed there. I like to believe that. But He has a tender heart. And He loved Martha and Mary. Remember that. And He loved Lazarus. The Scripture says that. But came the moment when He said, come a little practical, a lesson now. He says, remove the stone. Figuratively speaking and spiritually, if I may apply this. If we really want the blessing of God and enjoy resurrection power in our life, here this morning, my friend, if you're not a Christian, there may be some things that you're trying to move away yourself before you become a Christian. You want to be a better Christian or a better person. You want to be a better Christian, a person rather, than the Christians that are in churches. You want to be a believer, and you're going to show the world how it's to be done, and you're not prepared to be one yet. Or maybe it's because of something that's in your way, and you feel, I can't give this up. I'm not ready to give it up. It's because you don't have the power to give it up. But it's not until you allow the Christ of power and the Christ of heaven and earth to come into your heart and allow Him, through the leading of the Spirit of God and the convicting power of the Spirit of God, and you know the times that you've been convicted, that is judged guilty by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. And not until you come to that place in your life, you will never know what it is to enjoy eternal life or enjoy salvation. You can move every stone if you have the willpower. you still will have no guarantee that you become a Christian. The thing is this, come to Him as you are, and then He will give you the power, or He will have the power. He will be that power in your life to move the stone of whatever. You know what the greatest stone? The stone is unbelief. The stone of indifference. The stone of complacency. The stone of saying, I have plenty of time. You don't have plenty of time. We just buried a young man at Spanish Wells. I consider 42 a young man. And I like the young man. We've had many, many hours together of counseling. For 9 years after he professed faith in Christ, seemingly, sidetracked, whatever happened, I'm not aware of the details. The fact is, he fell, and the trauma of it is such it would break any parent's heart. It broke the heart of the community. I mean, we're still feeling the effects of it. Just another indication of the Word of God. It says the wages of sin is what? Death. Premature death, someone said. An untimely death, someone else said. And so, life is like that. We used to say you're here today and gone tomorrow, but seemingly you're here today and you're gone today. That's how brief life seems to be. The young as well as the old. The youngster who was recently killed by a car accident. No one expected that. And we could go on and on. We do not have control over time. You cannot bring back what the last 5 minutes is gone. And you have no claim, no jurisdiction over the next 10 minutes. You don't. Some time ago I gave an illustration. Maybe it's good to bring it back and use it again right here at the chapel. Suppose someone gave you $1 million only for you. You cannot pass it on to a friend, loved one. $1 million. But you only had 1 week to live. On the other hand, you had a choice of someone giving you $200, but you had 20 years to live. What would be the priority? $1 million or time? Time. What good is $1 million for 1 week and you can't leave it to anyone? It's yours, but only for 1 week. Well, that's what's happening to a world. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What profit? What will he give in exchange for it? As I've said, many millionaires, way up in years and can't enjoy 3 meals a day, they can't sleep properly. And it's tragic, really, when you think of it. Some have long gone out of this life. Ah, but He loves them. He loves these dear ones, and He loves you. He loves us. I enjoy, every time I read, that shout of power. Lazarus, come forth! Loose him! And let him go. Because he came from the grave with the grave clothes on and he was bound. And so they had to loose him and he was able to walk. And that's what the Lord Jesus will do for you today when you come to Him, when you bow the knee to the Christ of God. He will loose you and break the chains that bind you, no matter what they are. It's not my business to even try to give any suggestion as what the chains might be in your life. It's Just remember that He loves you. He gave Himself on Calvary there. He died in your place. And we were remembering Him this morning in the breaking of bread service, lifting our hearts in thankfulness and in adoration. And it says, the Christ of God, He is the one. He is the only one. He died for us. He died for you, that you might enjoy this resurrection life. Because He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now that's real life. That's real life. Years ago I saw in a newspaper clipping where this man left in his will that he wanted to be buried in his Cadillac, sitting behind the wheel, with a tuxedo on, a top hat. And there he was, and listen, this is true. The crane dug this tremendous hole in the ground, which was to be the grave. And he was, here he was, sort of sat up there, lashed there in a position, holding the wheel. And that's the way he wanted to be buried. But while they were lowering the Cadillac and this man into the grave, the crane driver was overheard saying, man, that's what I call real living. Isn't that ridiculous? Isn't it ridiculous? My friend, it doesn't matter whether you're buried in a Cadillac with your tuxedo and top hat, or in a pauper's garment, it doesn't matter. When you're dead, you're dead. Again, I'm guilty of repeating some incidents, but I used that here too some time ago. I remember when I was a boy, we'd go to the graveyard, and I would say, Bobby and Manuel, who's my friends in our boyhood days, we'd go to the cemetery and say, this one died in 1890. And I find one that probably was buried in 1870. And I would shout, Bobby, come over here. This one is really dead. My friend, it doesn't matter if he died in 1870 or 1890. He's dead. He's dead. So, that's a priority this morning. Speaking of time, that is, let's be aware how precious time is. Now, it doesn't mean that you cannot have your leisure time, your vacation time, time for your family, quality time, that is, with your family. All of these things are essential in life. God will not deprive you of these things. But however, let it always be the motivating force in our life to please God, to serve God, and to do what He wants us to do, that He might be glorified in everything that we do. Wherever we go, whatever we're involved in, that He might be glorified. You know, sometimes we learn some things when we travel. But I couldn't help, when I was on this particular trip, we went to a place in Grand Cayman, I believe it is, and it was a place called Hell. It's just a group of rocks. How many have been there? Let me see your hand. I've got a few. And it's sad in a sense. Here it is. It's an area no bigger than perhaps maybe two-thirds the size of the chapel here. It's just a group of rocks coming up. And they call it Hell. But what saddens me is that they've got the t-shirt, I've been to hell and back, I wish you were here in hell with me, and cards, and a little post office there that says, And this is the point I want to make. The post office had a sign up. I don't think the sign was meant to be amusing, but it says, help post office will be closed at 4:30 due to a staff meeting. I want to tell you something. In the real hell, the hell of the Bible, and I said lovingly, listen, there's no communication like that. No postcard that can be sent to anyone else. Because in hell, it's for eternity. The same thing is true when you're with Christ, in Christ, in heaven. There's no time, it's eternity. He is the Lord of time. Remember that. We sang that in one of the hymns that Brother Billy gave out. He's the Lord of life, and he's the Lord of time. I was glad you gave that hymn out. He's the Lord of time. He's in control of time. Oh, may God give us wisdom then to apply our hearts, that is, to real knowledge and wisdom when it comes to time. Time can be a tyrant, or it can be a teacher. You've heard people say, I'm just killing time. My friend, you can't kill time. Time might kill you, but you can't kill time. There's no such thing. Because time isn't worried. Time doesn't get uptight. Time doesn't work to a frenzy. The clock ticks. It'll be like the man who stood up on one of the beaches many years ago in the Bahamas, I understand, the first pocket watch he had, and he got up on the beach and he looked at the rising of the sun. He said, sun's a few minutes late this morning. No, the sun's never late. The sun's always perfect time. The tides come in and they go out. Perfect timing. God help us, if they were out of time, we wouldn't be here today. But because of God's perfect order, time is in His hands. That's why the scripture says it is high time to what? Awake out of sleep. Christian, our salvation is nearer now, our deliverance is nearer now than when we first believed. The prophetic clock, time is running out. Do you know that the men of the world in Time magazine and all the noted magazines, they have what is called a doomsday clock? Some of them put it 5 minutes to midnight. Some even a little closer. This is the world now. This is not the Christian evaluation of time or the times in which we live. We have the Word of God. God knows when the clock, the prophetic clock, that is, when the Lord Jesus will come for His church. God the Father knows that time. We need to be ready as Christians to look up and to serve Him in view of His soon return. Because time is precious. Precious. Thought of leaving the little I have behind doesn't bother me much. But I'm going to be honest with you, but the thought of me going, whether by death, more so by death. Hopefully, I trust all my family are saved. Really, I do. But if I should go through the cemetery, just the thought of my grandchildren, my great-grands, what they will go through in this world, perhaps bothers me more than anything in this life. I'm being very honest about that. Because really, there's absolutely nothing in this world that I could see to afford peace, to give you any measure of consolation. And I know you'll say, boy, that preacher, he sure sounds dismal this morning. He's making it look bad and rough. Oh, listen, if you have Christ in your heart, my friend, let me tell you, this perspective of life changes immediately. You see, because then you'll have hope. And then you can look beyond this veil of tears. You can look beyond this time of sorrow and trouble, this mugging and murder and brutality that we see every day, and war and assassinations by prime ministers or kings or whatever. Wherever you turn, nothing but a whirl of remorse. And you look at your television and you see the children, like it was some time ago in Somalia and even in Rwanda. And some of the pictures that's coming out of Africa, it breaks your heart to see the children just skin and bone, and the diseases that are rampant around the world, and men that are just scratching their heads for a solution. And the peace